Welcome to the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We're back for what is our final episode of the season, and technically it's the final episode of the series for the Where Eagles Dare podcast. More about that in a little bit, but it's not all bad, so don't worry. What is bad is the fact that here we are after Super Bowl Sunday, and we're not wearing smiley faces. We're not playing the Fly Eagles Fly fight song. Basically, we know if you're an Eagles fan, you know this. The game did not go our way. It was a fantastic game. If you're a Chiefs fan, especially, but if you're not an Eagles fan and you're just a football fan, it was a fantastic game to watch, all things considered. But the Eagles come up short, 38-35 in the Super Bowl. Another kind of devastating Super Bowl loss for the Birds, who are now 1-3 in Super Bowls all time. At least we got that one. I swear to God, if Brady had pulled that one out of his butt, I would be even lower than I am today. But we did get that one in 2017. And as we talk about this one, the one thing I can say is leaving this Super Bowl behind and feeling good about certain things, because we're gonna have some negative things to say, but there's some positives to bring from this. I like this team going forward. I really do. There's a lot of challenges ahead, and that's to be expected with any team coming back from a successful season. But I like this team going forward, and I tell you, especially who I love is QB1, Jalen Hurts. We've said it from the beginning of the season, and when all is said and done, you can't deny that he showed up and played on an elite level in a spotlight when everybody last season in the Tampa Bay game cast dispersions, said he'd never be an NFL championship quarterback. He shouldn't even be a first stringer. People are saying that they should let Minshew start the season. Well, he proved it. He proved it all season. But all the doubters that still proved him, didn't believe in him going into the Super Bowl, he proved them wrong as well. Now, they can still doubt him, but they can't deny that he threw for 300 yards and rushed for 70 and ran for 3 touchdowns and passed for 1. It's just amazing. But it is what it is. Before we get too deep into the game, we'll just address the elephant in the room before we break anything out. The last play of the game for the Eagles, really, on defense, 3rd and 8 from the 15. And we all know what happened. This happened. The holding call that was or wasn't, it was, because it was called holding on the field. I watched it back again today. In the moment, I was upset, but I was just like, I just slumped my shoulders and dealt with it. But I think we should start here, because it's important to recognize that this was a key moment in the game, especially because who knows what the Eagles could have done with a minute 48, only down by 3. They at least could have come down and gotten a field goal to tie and maybe even gone for the touchdown to win. But we'll never know, because some moron who didn't call anything like this the entire game decided that this was holding when he didn't turn Juju, barely grabbed the jersey. He did grab it. You see that in the bottom. But it was so minor compared to what they were calling. To have this called, it's indicative of what happens to the Eagles in these types of situations. So I don't want to blame the whole Super Bowl loss on this call, because this is definitely not the reason we lost. But when you look at the whole Super Bowl's whole, this is what everybody's going to remember. It's not the whole reason the Eagles lost, but it's what everyone will remember. And that's bad for the NFL, in my opinion. The NFL don't need that kind of stuff. I can only imagine what Roger Goodell was thinking when the call was made, because I know he probably would love a Chiefs victory. I mean, he's the commission, and the Chiefs are good for football, you know. But man, what a bad way for that Super Bowl to end. An exciting Super Bowl, and what a bad way for Dan. What do you think, Tubby?
You know, basically the point is the players establish a rhythm throughout the game. They establish how the refs are calling the game and how they're going to go about playing the game. There were no calls like this throughout the game. I thought it was poor timing. And, you know, if we had that play, if you look at the end of the play, most players, when they get grabbed or when it was a penalty, they'll throw their hands up or something. Juju doesn't even react to the throw. Juju just runs. You can see, you know, his body language. We're settling for the field goal. Then the late flag comes in out of nowhere. And then you see Mahomes pointing. And I'm like, man, you just knew, like, the game's going to end like this. And that was really just, it was deflating to the whole game, you know? So you want to see the players decide the game. Now, last year when Wilson mugged Cooper Kupp and it was a bang, bang play, but he really turned Kupp and really, really distracted that play. The refs has to call it right. The refs have to call that right there because it's pretty egregious. It's boom. But we're talking about something that happened at the line of scrimmage. Then you call that another 15, 20 yards downfield. Then you throw the flag. It made no sense. It didn't really reroute Juju. It was an overthrow by Mahomes. Looked like Mahomes was just throwing it away or seeing if. And I think the body language of the play looks like a Mahomes throw away. And then boom. You just see this flag come out of nowhere. It's like everybody knows field goal, Eagles about to get the ball, and then this. So if everybody saw the flag, people would have been throwing their hands up. If the ref does not throw that flag, nobody knows the difference, which is way different than the Kansas City lining up offsides against the Patriots very blatantly and Brady throws the pick. But you have to, it was so blatant. Everybody can see him offsides. Everybody can see that Wilson fouled Cooper Kupp right there at the goal line. Because, you know, it's almost like if Mahomes doesn't even throw it to Juju, it wouldn't even get called. It was just a weird play. It almost like they waited for the play to be over to throw the flag. So it was just deflating, man. It was just really deflating. And it just feels like a poor way to end the season on all fronts. Poor way to end a great Super Bowl. Even if you're a ref, you just go, it wasn't that egregious. I'll throw a late one if they complain, maybe. No complaints. Because nobody complained. Like I said, Juju did nothing. No. And then I think you just go, okay, it's not going to be about me. They kick the field goal. Then we see what Hurts can do with the minute 40 and the timeout, which I want to talk about the other timeout later.
That was
my key on that holding call, man. It's just really deflating.
And again, like you said, it isn't the entire game, but man, it's just a bad way to a bad look for the NFL and a bad way to go out. Congrats to the Chiefs. I will say this right off the bat. I have no ill will toward them. We're not going to pull a 40 whiners. We're not going to pull a 40 whiners and say we were robbed. We're just disappointed that the play that happened the way it did. And you know, Bradbury even said it was holding. He knew it was holding. We know it's holding. It's just a bad look and a bad way to go out. It reminded me of the loss against Washington where the Eagles were still in that game. Graham slides into Heinicke. He does a freaking Premier League football dive. And yes, it's technically roughing the passer, but no smart referee. I wonder if it's the same official that called that. It seems like it. No official in their right mind makes that call when Heinicke flops. And yet they throw the flag and they keep the Eagles from getting back on the field because nobody wants that if you're trying to win a game. This official, to me, it's shady. Because he knows that if the Chiefs don't score a touchdown there, their chances of winning that game would be greatly reduced. Because I do think in my heart of hearts, the way Jalen was playing in that second half, the way he was putting the team on his back for the entire game, I think he would have led them at least to a field goal, if not the game-winning touchdown. And you know Nick Sirianni would have done everything he could to make sure they went for that touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
But there was so much in that game. So we'll throw that away. It happened. We're upset about it. There's so much in that game to discuss of things that a lot of it just didn't go our way. And yet the Eagles still persevered, had a 10-point lead at halftime in the one of the longest halftimes ever done. And they had to go through that and then come back out on the field and take on a Mahomes that looked like he was on his last leg at halftime. And it just didn't, it just fell apart. It's just so many bad things. So for you as a fan, I know for me what stood out and upset me the most, but for you, what were some of the things that bugged you about the Super Bowl?
When I can see that the ball was going to Kelce before the snap, you know, and like I was probably being a little obnoxious about it at my house, but I was standing up like, look how far they're apart from Kelce. I can throw it to Kelce for, you know, being that guy. But I was just, you know, I mean, and then what really, really, really was just deflating again, I guess that's the word of the day for me, was the walk-in touchdowns, the wide open touchdowns. Really, the wide open touchdowns did it for me the most, because it was like deflating. The Eagles have to fight for everything they get. Then we just give away points. It's like every time you blinked, they were in the red zone. It was almost like they two plays, bop, red zone. It's like, how are they in the red zone again? It was just like, but when you blinked, it's like they did nothing. But yeah, man, that was what upset me the most, was the easy touchdowns, especially from guys that we've been counting on all year to make plays. I know the scheme was messed up, but mainly the walk-in touchdowns. How about you? What was it for you, man?
You're right in the ballpark. You know, the thing is, you just mentioned there, it's like they seem to be in the red zone at the drop of a hat, and they moved the ball extremely quickly down the field. They did no huddle a lot, and against the shell zone of our beloved Jonathan Gannon, and I say that with as much sarcasm as I can in my voice, they only had the ball for 24 minutes in that entire game. Eagles had it for 35 minutes because, like you said, the Eagles ground out every possession that they could, especially in the first half. They were making every possession count. They were going to keep Mahomes off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people want to give Gannon some credit for only holding them to 7 points in the first half. Granted, they got the fumble, which we'll talk about, the Jalen Hurts fumble. But so, you know, like I said, 24-14 at half. But I saw that first half and I was alarmed, because the first two drives that the Chiefs had, Gannon decided in his infinite wisdom to cover Kelce with TJ Edwards. Now, I love TJ. He didn't have the best Super Bowl that he could have. And a big part of that was the assignments he was given.
Right.
And the number one assignment in the first two drives of covering Kelce is one of the stupidest things I've seen a coach do to their defense. And it left Edwards looking out in an island nowhere. And they get down and score right off the bat, right after the Eagles touchdown. Set the tone, tie it 7-7. And then the very next possession, they do the same thing again. The only thing that the Eagles did do is they stiffened and forced a field goal that Butker missed, which was great.
Right.
But going into half, I didn't see the Eagles stopping them so much as they were grinding out the clock.
Right.
And keeping Mahomes limited touches.
Right. I was alarmed on the first play where, you know, I knew something was going to be weird. It was going to be a long day when Epps came down to bump Kelce. I'm thinking, what? You have no help, but, you know, again, that was another easy touchdown. I mean, any competent quarterback can go, he's bumping Kelce, and they only have single high safety. Oh, my goodness. Let me just run this guy underneath all the way on the outside and just run Kelce, you know, to the corner, and this is going to be easy. And Epps comes in, whiffs, like he was going to bump him anyway. I mean, Kelce has to block defensive ends. What do you think this corner is going to do against a guy that blocks defensive ends and defensive tackles on, you know, switches and stuff like that? So I knew Epps should have came down and played that about 3 yards. Mm-hmm. He plays that 3 yards. He stays on top of Kelce. He may pick it off because how Mahomes has to throw it. So it's this, but those things like that, Bell Gannon out, I'm like, well, that's piss poor by Epps. That's terrible. There's no way Gannon told him to go down, bump Kelce, and then let him get behind you without help. No way. No
Maybe
way.
He did.
No
I,
way.
I wouldn't put it past him.
But I'm just saying, to me, that first touchdown, I was like, oh, man, here we go. Because like we said previous pod, we allow regular quarterbacks, below average quarterbacks, to look good. What's going to happen when we face one that is great? And it looked like it, man. We just looked out-coached at times. But, yeah, just talking about that first one with Epps and Kelce mm-hmm. just going over the side, it was too easy.
Yeah.
We didn't
yeah.
make them work for any of their touchdowns.
That's
the fumble six.
Yeah, well, that is the you said the most right there. That is the name of the game right there, is that every touchdown they had looked amazingly easy. The Eagles didn't fight. And this is from a team and Gannon and his beloved bend but don't break defense, which I have said all year. If you listen to this podcast, you watch these things on YouTube, you have seen me and Tubby talk about the bend but don't break defense, the soft shell, how it's only capable of stopping mediocre quarterbacks. And what has bailed Gannon out time and time again this season. Remember, I said I watched every single game of the season before the Super Bowl. And I noticed that what was bailing Gannon out were the turnovers by CJ and Dislay and Bradbury and the sacks. And so, but when if they didn't get those, the teams they were facing would go on these long drives because we're playing bend but don't break. And eventually, you know, either score or turn the ball over. That was what we were dealing with. Occasionally a strip sack that would take teams out of field goal range. But it can't be stressed enough that it was a little bit like the Emperor's New Clothes, Gannon, where the whole fairy tale where the Emperor gets a loom that's of the beautiful cloth, but there's really nothing there. It's all invisible. It's a mirage. And yet everybody looks at the Emperor and goes, oh, what a beautiful outfit, but he's really naked. And they're just saying that because that's what you're supposed to say.
Right.
And Gannon's numbers, the DVOA numbers and second overall in the league and the sacks and the interceptions are really deceiving. And so they give you that false sense of security, like he's wearing this beautiful robe and he's a great defensive coordinator when really he's just a naked, stupid ass who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing on the football, you know, coaching a defense that has so many phenomenal players. And you're coaching this weak ass, defenseless, spineless type of defense. I've watched it all year and I've said over and over again, if we lose, it's because of this. And it always, when we've lost, it's been because of him. The Detroit game, a guy like Jared Goff, we're up 28-10. Mm. And Gannon goes into the shell and it ends up 35-33. We nearly lose that game because of Gannon.
Right.
Then every game, dude, game. The Jacksonville game we could have lost if the downpour hadn't started. It started off 14-0. Mm. They looked like they had our bag. The Packers game, yes, with Julian Love and Aaron Rodgers, you look at the completion percentage, and then the Cowboys game, I know they had four turnovers, but if you look at Dak's numbers in those games, he had a 77% completion percentage again. And what did Mahomes have in the Super Bowl? You know, if you look at the stat line, he threw for 150 yards around there, rushed for like 40. Yeah, it wasn't much. And the time of possession, like I said before, he had 182 yards total and 182 yards passing, 21 to 27 for 77% completion and a 131 QBR rating. Oh my God.
They didn't say
I know it's 182, but man, 77% in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So for me, like when you know this guy and you know his tendencies, it's very extremely, extremely frustrating. Like I said, Philadelphia's defense surrendered 6.4 yards per play, the second highest total allowed all season, gave up 21 first downs, even though the Chiefs just ran 53 plays.
Wow.
They got a first down on almost half of their plays. The pass rush did not sack Patrick Mahomes. They allowed 158 rushing yards, the third most all season, including Mahomes, a guy on a busted ankle, a season-long 26-yard scramble on the decisive series, and didn't force a single punt in the, after halftime. It's ridiculous. 35 points is the most scored by a team that lost in the Super Bowl. That's what the Eagles had, 35. Needed more. The Eagles' defense gave up 24 points, 15 first downs, and 119 rushing yards in the second half alone. And so when we talk about things like what bothers me the most, it's one man. It's one dude. It's this moron here that thinks he knows the game, but has shown clearly week in and week out that he is a weak-ass defensive-minded coach. he would be lucky to have the just an ounce of sweat off of D'Amico Ryan's balls to be able to coach as well as D'Amico does defense, or no defense, or even the way the Cowboys coach defense. And I'm not talking, I've said it all day long, I'm not talking about going back to Jim Johnson, Buddy Ryan blitzing all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. So I get angry when people go, oh, you just want to blitz all the time. No, what I want is a guy like, look at the way the Chiefs played defense. Now, granted, they gave up 35 points, but like we said, the Eagles had to fight for every single yard.
Oh, yeah.
They were up on the receivers within 3 yards, never, not always bumping and running, but they were allowing their pass rush to take its time to get to Hurts and making sure that the receivers were blanket covered, that he had nowhere to go sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Jalen had to fight for everything, throwing into double coverage, throwing into what he could do to get plays done. On the flip side, you've got the Eagles 5 to 10 yards off the line of scrimmage, so much space everywhere. And anytime they ran motion, they were lost. The Eagles were pointing at each other to say, you take this guy. No, you take this guy. And then at the snap, nobody took the guy that they were pointing at. Right. He would be left wide open. And that to me is a badly coached defense. They were confused. It was erratic. It was infuriating. And I said it all year. So, and so that's, I'm not going to beat a dead horse.
Yeah.
I said, if we lose the Super Bowl, it'll be because of Jonathan Gannon's defense. When we went up halftime, 24 to 14, I thought we had a shot. But I said, it's a long game. You got a whole another half to go, but God, I didn't think it was going to be that bad in the second half. I really did not think the defense was going to be that bad.
Yeah. Even, there was some telltale signs. Like we mentioned the missed field goal, because that was a solid drive, and I was surprised Andy didn't go for it on fourth and three there. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt like we really got away with one by the way we know our defense can play, and with having somebody like Travis Kelce that they're playing so far off the ball, you just turn around 3 yards, he can get you, he's going to get you a first down. So I was surprised. And then when they missed the field goal, I was like, whoa, we just caught an ultra break there. And then in that next drive, is this the that was the fumble six, was the next drive right after that, right after the missed field goal? No, we scored.
Right, yeah.
We scored because it was 14-7 on the fumble six.
Yes, yeah, they tied it. They tied it on 14-14. Yeah.
They missed the field goal. Then we go back down and score, and you go, wow, that's a big swing. That's a 10-point swing there, you know, essentially, right? Miss three, then you go down and get 7, 10-point swing. But then we get the ball back after that, and then we almost do our own 10-point swing with the fumble six. But all season long, before the ball was even fumbled on third and six, on second and one, I had already got out of my seat. When they gave the ball to Gainwell, all he needed to get was 1 yard, and he just shimmied and tried to shake and went down for a no gain. I was like, what are you doing? I stood up just from almost immediately, like, Gainwell, just fall forward for a yard. What are you guys doing? I was already mad at Miles Sanders. Seems like every time he got the ball, he didn't know what to do with it. Kept running out of bounds on first down. We start in second and 11. We did that twice. First down, give it to Booby, second and 11. You're like, what the hell is going on? Get up the field, man. Get up the field. Very frustrated with our running backs. Then Gainwell does that on second and one, and I'm just like, whatever. But I'm like, third and one, all we got to do is fall forward. And then Sayamalu jumps, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, here are these comedy of errors. And then, boom. I mean, I didn't even see how Jalen even dropped. I know how he dropped it now, but it looked like such a freak move. Yeah. You get out there, and it was like he was surprised by how many Chiefs was around him. Mm-hmm. And he tried to, like, do something. I know, like, Johnson kind of whiffed on a guy, and he gets around. All you see is red jerseys by the time Jalen gets there. That was a missed call too, but it was, you know, brush him. But the ball just kind of
fingers in the face.
Oh yeah. I mean, most quarterbacks get that, as you can see him with the new shoes on because the turf was so shit.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, you have to have the ball with two hands there. Him having it with the one was the problem. It just kind of slipped. It was such a freak play.
Then it hit his leg. Yeah.
Kicks it. Oh my God. Kicks it. Almost tees it up for a scoop and score, and you're just gut it, man. You're just like, dang. But it's 14-14, so you're like, new ball game, but damn, that momentum that we thought we were about to have, just went out the window quick, and it was just like, man, we caught a break with the missed field goal, score, then we just gave it all back and easy play, man. It's just such an such a comedy of errors leading up to that. But I was just yeah. so like, man, it was, but that's what happened to us all year. Remember, it would be like a little error and then a Jalen fumble. That's happened to us a couple times yeah. this year. Third and one, third and six fumble. What?
I love Jalen, and yeah, but it seems to happen like when a mistake like that's happened, he tries, and it's not a fault or a flaw, but he knows it's on him at that point. Mm-hmm. You had it, and I think it affects him when the line makes a mistake like that, gets an ineligible downfield or holding call, then it just leads to him trying to do too much. And in that situation right there, he was going to, the whole design was to run back up, get him back up to that fourth down marker so they can go for it again.
Right.
But what you say is true. We get the Butker missed field goal, and then we force a punt, and it's like we really had him on the ropes until that fumble six. And but then even still, so the thing is that, again, so just like with the holding call at the end on Bradbury, if Jalen played crappy the rest of the way, then I could maybe go, yeah, it's on Jalen for the fumble. The fact that quarterbacks do fumble and things happen like that, or even throw pick six, it happens from the game. But you have to look at the body of work. And what Jalen did after that was, to me, what we've seen in Jalen Hurts all season long. Mm-hmm. It's that sucking it up, not letting it get to him, and just coming out and kicking ass, which is exactly what he did. Both in the air. I mean, his command in the air was amazing when he needed to scramble. Not always great, but he did take advantage of several scrambles where he was able to get loose in the secondary. So to me, it was just, I can't fault him for the fumble. And you look at his stat line after the game, it was, like we said, it was brilliant. 27 of 38, 304 yards passing, a passing touchdown, 15 rushing attempts, 70 rushing yards, which is a Super Bowl quarterback record. 3 rushing touchdowns, a Super Bowl quarterback record, and a 2-point conversion. Now, if you told me he was going to have this stat line, I would have thought the Eagles were going to win that Super Bowl.
By 30.
even if you told me he fumbled and caused a touchdown, I'd be like, but this is his stat line. This is his stat line. 4 touchdowns, 304 yards passing, 70 rushing yards. But he fumbles, he gives up a touchdown. But this is, we can have this, right? I would take this every single day. Every single day. And unfortunately, like I said, I said it today on some message boards, people were like trying to second guess Sirianni and Steichen. I'm like, look, there is only one person that needs second guessing on that coaching staff, because the Eagles scored 35 points. You score 35 points, you win the damn game.
Right.
And your defense didn't do its job, especially in the second half. Not one single punt, no sacks, no turnovers. So there's one person. Now, you could want to blame the whole defense. That's fine. But I know better in my heart. I know those guys are out there and they wanted to play. And they were prepared the wrong way. You know when I started to get really scared about the defense? Was when Brendan Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and McCaffrey and all those 49ers started talking during the Pro Bowl and then during the Super Bowl media weeks, saying that the Eagles' passing defense was suspect. Mm-hmm. And they had a game plan now I've thought, okay, it's just the 49ers just talking smoke, just talking smoke. But I started listening to it. I'm like, all right, they do have a couple of points. They are talking about what I've talked about with the passing game. And then Slay was asked about it. And he said, what are they talking about? We're the number 2 defense in the league. We held them to 7 points. I'm like, yeah, you didn't really hold them to 7 points. You held Christian McCaffrey to 7 right. points because you knocked out 2 of the quarterbacks, which was great.
Right.
And I think that game knocking out those 2 quarterbacks ill prepared them for the Super Bowl, because they weren't ready to face an offense that was explosive and dynamic because they did that. Mm-hmm. And it's upsetting because the defense, I think, came in believing that Gannon's system was working.
To me, the defense the secondary played exactly how I thought they would play. To me, the biggest difference in this game was our inability to rush the quarterback. I thought our guys, because now they're hesitating, they're not getting off the ball quick because they're thinking about slipping. It took our guys completely out of the game. That's how Mahomes was able to run as well, too. Our guys are just slipping. And then he looks like he's running in slow motion. They're like they're running in mud to try to get him. There was like never anybody around him. It just looked – just looked weird, man. They just were slipping all over the place. Now, granted, that's probably why our offense was able to thrive as well, too, because they couldn't get to us because we're pushing them down as well, too. You know, you have that both sides thing. That's why it's more so scheme, really. It just really comes down to scheme. And when the touchdown to Kadarius Toney, I've always called out Slay all year, and I get that it was a scheme thing. But when you're not even turned around for the snap, bro, what are you doing, bro? You got to at least hear the snap. You have, no matter what's going on, you have to just line up and play football. Same thing about that 3rd and 30. He's trying to push it off. At some point, just go get the guy that has the ball. Just play football. At some point, just play football, man. Just get, guard the guy in front of you. Hey, man up. Just call something different. You the captain. You Slay. Where's the big play? We needed a big play right there. Maybe a smart Slay or a smart coordinator tells him, hey, they're probably going to think about this. If they stay Slay, I want you to bait them, jump the route. That's what I wanted Slay to do in that moment. If you want to walk over like that, force the ball to Toney, cut it off to the house, ball game, essentially. Yeah. But it was a walk-in, and it was just, and he was still getting sucked over in, even as the play was going, like, where are you going? At what point? You're the corner. You're literally the corner. You are damn near in, you're where the linebackers are at this point, bruh. And you're still pointing. You don't even know the ball has been snapped. Gannon can't teach boss. Like, it's some things that Gannon can teach. And it's some things like, bro, I can't teach you to be prepared for the snap. If you're getting it in, somebody just has to, like I said, at the end of the day, no matter what, you just have to guard the guy in front of you, even if you don't understand. If you don't just walk away from him like that, even though I know it was a motion. I know, like, Toney wasn't just standing there. It was a motion. But you overran the motion. You didn't even stay with him casually. He wasn't even past his first receiver. Where was you passing off? He wasn't even past the inside receiver. And you passed off before you did it prematurely. It looks so clownish when you look at it on replay. It's like a clown car.
It does.
And he just goes back out, and number two goes this way, and he just walks in, and you're just like, how?
So I hear what you're saying, and I do agree that overplayed it. But I also go back to Gannon on this one. And I know that you said, how can you coach scheme? It goes back to what I read after the Super Bowl, because I did watch it and go, okay, he did overplay it. Then you read what Eric Bieniemy and Chad Henne said after the Super Bowl, and they said, you want to talk about those open touchdowns? We call those plays corn dog because we like to eat. And that's what they called them. So what they noticed was during the Jacksonville game earlier in the season that Gannon doesn't like jet sweeps. And he feels that when a receiver comes in motion like that behind the quarterback, that it's going to be a handoff to that wide receiver around that left end. And so what he teaches his boys to do is to get as quickly as possible to that other side, because that's where the play is going. Then when the ball is snapped, Toney, just like the running back in Jacksonville did, turn back and runs the other way really quickly. Yeah, thank you. Turns around and runs the other way. And now you're already running to the right. To be able to stop on a dime and come back, you've already created 10 yards of separation. I got one little quick video on it I want to show. It's about a minute long. Just to discuss this, and this is the play that ran in Jacksonville. I got this off of a TikTok, so quality is okay, but it says exactly what I saw in this.
What if I told you that this is the play that won the Kansas City Chiefs the Super Bowl? A random touchdown by Jamal Agnew in a Week 4 game. This play basically exposed how to attack the Eagles' man-to-man defense at the goal line. Doug Peterson is going to dial up a fake jet sweep to Jamal Agnew. I want you to pay close attention to how the Eagles attempted to play this. CJ Gardner-Johnson has Jamal Agnew in man-to-man, and when Jamal Agnew motions towards the middle of the field, he drops back to safety, and the safety is actually going to rotate towards the line of scrimmage to hopefully cover Agnew. According to this article by The Athletic, Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy actually noticed this, that if the Eagles lined up in man coverage, they would overcompensate for anything that looked like motion. So here we are in the Super Bowl, 3rd down and 3 in the red zone. It's the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs are going to put this law into practice. Kadarius Toney goes in motion. even Darius Slay is communicating that. It looks like CJ Gardner-Johnson is ready to fly downhill, and no one, and I mean absolutely no one, is prepared for Kadarius Toney to reverse back towards the outside of the field. And that is just the easiest touchdown for Patrick Mahomes because of the miscommunication. Very next drive, third and goal, the Chiefs pull out this play again, this time with Sky Moore, and what do you know? The Eagles defense is going to overcompensate with Avante Maddox, yet another easy touchdown, just like the Jamal Agnew play. As we've seen in the past, teams tend to save their best plays for last, and this was a case of Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid totally outclassing Eagles defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon. So to all the Chiefs fans out there, you should thank this man, Doug Peterson, for basically winning you guys a Super Bowl.
And when you see that, and you see how the defense overcompensates on those jet sweeps, that's Gannon teaching his guys. When you see a motion like that, that means a jet sweep. So you all commit to the right-hand side. That is horrible defensive coaching. When you see that video and you see the tendency, that is what I've said about Gannon from the get-go. He has no effing clue what he's doing out on that football field. And I've said it from the beginning. I said it last year when he would give up so many points. When Brady just massacred them in the playoff game, I was like, yeah, we don't have the best defense in the world, but we don't have that bad a defense.
Right.
To be able to give up so many easy yards against good quarterbacks, it's despicable. And
The irony of Doug Peterson winning us our first Super Bowl and potentially costing us a second one to Andy Reid. It's like some 6 degrees of separation type stuff. All these former Eagles.
Isn't it crazy?
Isn't that crazy? But Jay, you're right, man. That's horrible, man. Just to get him into that man coverage too. At some point you go, man, when we see motion, we got to go to, zone up. Don't even brush him off. Zone up. Cause you don't even on the jet sweep. If you got a guy there in zone, you're covering both sides already. So you already have a guy. I don't know. It makes no sense to try to, either way, you're still chasing. Even if you want Maddox to come down, you're just chasing, instead of anticipating and letting them come to you and then trapping them. That's how you force turnovers.
When you play man, somebody should have been on Tony. But again, when they see that motion, Gannon is scheming them to line everybody up to stop the jet sweep. And that's the problem with Gannon. He doesn't assume that it could be anything else, to where Slay should have not gone committed to the middle of the field. So when we put that on Slay, when you see it, it is. But then when you see it done over and over again, by CJ, by everybody, it is a scheme thing. And Gannon thinks he's smarter than the room, and he's going to overload. And how many jet sweeps did the Eagles stop this year? A lot of them. But it was Peterson, like I said, ironically, that saw it and saw the tendency and schemed against it. Now, we won that game, but had it not been a deluge, who knows what would have happened in that game too. But it is crazy. I mean, I can't say any more about the defense. I love our defense. I love the players on our defense. And I think that they played their hearts out as best they could. I just think they are victims of a horrible scheme. We know now that he is gone. He has been hired by the Arizona Cardinals. And I feel so sorry. That this guy's a head coach now. And I feel so sorry for the Arizona Cardinals for what they're going to get. One last thing I do want to say about the Eagles players, because I love them to death. And I've said it before, we're not the 49ers. Now, we didn't like the slippy field. Again, bad look by the NFL to paint a freaking field completely so it looks more green. My son was telling me that he's into different types of grass. That's a long story, but how they put in the rye grass in with the regular turf to make it greener and fuller, because it was looking like dry patches, and that caused more slippage, and then they painted the whole thing to look green. NFL, dude, I know it's the Super Bowl, but you spent so much time packaging entertainment, you forgot about the most important aspect of the entertainment, and that's the effing game. So that's bad. But, you know, the thing is the Eagles didn't do what the Niners did. And I'm so glad, or the Winers, I should say, because I'll never call them the 49ers again. They're the 40 Winers from here on out. One of the worst childish displays I've ever seen. And Jalen come out saying he's reflecting on the things he could have done better. Man, what a leader. The holding call, James Bradbury, it was a hold. Brendan Graham, we shouldn't even put ourselves in that position. He's right. On the field surface, everybody. Definitely not the reason we lost from Goddard. Both teams have to play on it. Saying all the right things. It's all the right things. And I admire the way the Eagles have handled this Super Bowl loss. I think they can hold their heads up because they did everything they could. And they were just dealt a bad hand and just bad things like that Washington game, the fumble, the penalty, the false start. They only had 6 penalties in the game, but they were just those backbreakers. The Sue one was ridiculous. The illegal hands to the face. Oh, he's got his hand on his chest. Give me a break.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If the lineman does that, the offensive lineman does the same thing, it's called a good block. You get him on the inside, ride him up, good to go. Yeah, man, I thought that call was weak. Really, the only call I see go that went against the Chiefs or the Eagles' way, however you want to look at it, was the obvious offside on the goal line when it didn't change nothing in the game. Right. We were going to get it anyway. They knew it. Teams have been doing that now. Like, they'll just take they'll take it if they can get it. But I mean, he was past, his head was past the ball. Oh,
always.
I mean, it was the most obvious call. So besides that, I don't really see the Eagles really getting too many breaks in that game, man. I think that also what it came down to too, like just getting a break here, right, there. And it's just like in that second half, we just couldn't catch a break, man.
I was surprised they didn't call the Miles Sanders incomplete pass a fumble, because I was prepared for it. It wasn't a fumble, in my opinion, but I was prepared for them to call it that way.
Yeah.
Because it was like he caught it, he turned, didn't make a step, and he's hit simultaneously. When you watch that in full speed, it definitely looks like an incomplete pass.
Right.
But when you slow it down the way they do,
right,
it's ridiculous. And then the fact that the Devontae Smith catch, again, another... I have no idea.
How can you overturn it?
David Tyree,
everything that stand. The only call there should have been call stand. Mm-hmm. Everything else, there's no clear evidence that he lost the ball, lost control. You see his hands under it at all times. So I was really disappointed in that overturn. Like, you know, people say you got the Goddard call. The Goddard call was right. He did get his foot down. His right foot was down. I did think it was weird. He kept taking steps. I'm like, dude, just get your feet down and hold. Like, don't. But, you know, he had the bobble, so that probably threw him off. You know, if he caught it clean, he probably just gets his feet down both and it's all good. But he's still trying to take those steps. Kind of just made it harder than what it should have been once he possessed it. You know, you're not getting up the field, so just, you know, get those feet in. But Devontae Smith call was definitely... I was definitely really disappointed in that. I don't see how. I think regular season, that call in the field stands.
Yeah. And the thing is, for me, if they're going to challenge that, I thought we were supposed to be able to look at pass interference as well. You look at that replay, even if you're going to say Devontae didn't catch the ball, his arm is being grabbed and held down. It's why he has the ball against his helmet. You know, David Tyree gets that and wins a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Devontae Smith does it, and it's an incomplete pass in the Super Bowl. It makes no sense to me. Make it make sense. And so, again, it sounds like we're whining, and there are bad things that happened in this game, but you also heard us talk about the defense. With all of those things happening, with all of those bad things, the Devontae Smith incompletes, because they go ahead and scored on that, ended up getting a field goal. They could have possibly got a touchdown because they would have had more time. They end up getting a field goal out of that drive. The Miles Sanders, a fumble that wasn't. So there were so many things that could have gone their way and that didn't, or, you know, did. But the biggest and the end all to be all, if the defense gets one stop in the second half, just one. If Aaron Sipos doesn't come back from injury. Now, as much as I hate to say, I would rather had Kern out there. Maybe Sipos coming back from an injury and this being his first game may not have been the best thing. Because I know, again, it's those stupid circumstances. Kern against the 49ers had the punt that hits the wire. He has the shank punt. So it's Sirianni going, look, I got my starting punter back. I don't want Kern out there, because he's thinking Kern might be the one to shank a punt. What does Sipos do? Lame duck one that ends up. And again, on a 4th-and-3 that the Eagles could have gone for, if they were just going to shank a punt like that on the 32, why do they just go for it on 4th down rather than give the ball to the Chiefs? And then, of course, that was a disaster. Chiefs up by 1, and then they get that punt return. So many bad things. Yeah. So many bad things.
You know, even with that punt return, you get down there, and, you know, there's so many unfortunate things, right? So first you have the kick was just bad. Like, come on, man. Just you're supposed to be kicking there for a fair catch no matter what. You're just kicking it, fair catch, let him play it out. Punt the ball. It was a terrible punt. It was, you know, right to him, kind of like that Deshaun Jackson Giants. You know, he bobbles it and stuff. But they get down there. And you have Pascal has him dead to rights. And he just missed the tackle. Then you have all the other guys over Besson. You have Blankenship. These guys are all on the other side. Like, where are you going? You have the whole sideline. It's like they didn't even play for the cutback. Or they didn't play for anything. He made one step, and it's like all five Eagles you saw just out of the play. And then here we go. But that's some of the breaks that the Eagles, you know, we talked about it all year, special teams. Where was our special team play? Where was ours? Mahomes scored on touchdowns. Where was a good punt return? Where was a good kick return at? We don't have any special players, man. You know, we don't have like those really special players outside of Jalen. Really, he's like our most special player. We don't have those guys that can really just, you know, think about the Niners. They got guys that just get it in their hands and they are likely to take it to the house. Deebo Samuels, Christian McCaffrey, Ayuk. Who can you really say that about the Eagles? Just get it in their hands and they'll take it to the house.
Right.
AJ Brown's a great possession receiver. Devontae Smith is like a possession receiver. He's like a mix, but he's like a possession receiver as well, too. Bobble's a lot of catches lately, man. Anyway, but we don't have that special guy like that Tyreek. I know Tyreek's like ultra special, but even Kadarius Toney is special. Sky Moore, they still have guys that are like ultra fast and can just blow the top off of a game. And you see Toney did that to us when he was playing for the Giants. He had a big play against us because he's a freak. He's like an ultra fast, man. Yeah. So you have the catch over there, but that punt return was due to his speed. He's just on a slippery field. He has special talent running the, returning the ball. You know, great, great pickup with the Chiefs. I think they got him for like a 6th round pick, something like that. Got him for cheap. How you got somebody special for a 6th round? We've been battling. When is our last good punt return? I can't even name them. That's how much we've slept on this position. Thought Covey was out, then he comes back. I'm like, okay, cool. That's a solid return, but
nothing
special, man. We don't. I think that's what the Eagles are lacking, man. That special players sometimes, man. Right. Either on offense or on defense. Nobody made like that play.
When you talk about the punt, it also makes me wonder, again, how much the field came into play on that, because it's easier when you have the ball and you're running it to know where you're going. When you're on ice trying to chase down somebody that has a ball and you don't know where they're going, and that causes a lot of overruns. So the field conditions were abysmal. And then when we talk about the defense, same thing. It's like, you know, like we were talking about before the broadcast about how them getting pancaked and then being held to the ground because they were slipping everywhere. And granted, like I said, the Eagles said both teams had to play that way, but the Chiefs handled it better. The Chiefs handled it from a position of they were playing blanket coverage on the receivers and then easing their pass rush into kind of forming a gap around Jalen Hurts and just forcing him to have to roll out and throw the ball away. Whereas the Eagles, on the other hand, were slipping, trying to get there as fast as they could, slipping down, getting sat on, and allowing Patrick Mahomes to run free. They almost got to him 2 or 3 times and just couldn't because he eluded it, and also the turf was completely a disaster. Yeah. I do want to say that after the punt and the touchdown that made it an 8-point game, I can't say enough about that drive that Jalen led to tie it up and then get the 2-point conversion. It made you thought that the Eagles had a chance again to tie it up at 35. He really showed me why he's going to get paid a lot this year and how we need to build this team around him going forward, and why I knew I was right when I saw him. I told my wife, I said, because she saw me get excited about that. And I had people that knew me were texting me, man, you must be happy right now. I'm like, well, I'll be happy if it's over. But I was happy for Jalen. I one of the things I wanted, other than just to win a Super Bowl, I wanted him to shut people up. And I asked my wife, I said, you know what? I'm never big on Eagles quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It's a position I'm very overly critical about. She knows this. And it is nice to be an Eagles fan and have a quarterback that I love, respect, and look up to and just enjoy. And it's also very refreshing that you hit the Eagles message boards the day after. No one was blaming Jalen.
Oh, no.
Like, no one.
You said it earlier. It had we lost maybe by maybe we put up another, maybe a field goal, and we lose 20-17, 21-17, even like 24-17. You go, man, that fumble really did it to us. But, I mean, he crossed the, you know, helped get the ball across the goal line five times in the Super Bowl. And that's saying a whole hell of a lot. He had an incredible performance. I thought the offense played well in general. I thought they, you know, besides Booby, he was the only one that was shaky to start. And I thought Gainwell played, you know, well overall. I just thought that second and one, I thought he could have did a little better there. But yeah, overall, man, the offense played well. Jalen definitely played well. And I was like, man, they definitely gonna have to pay him. But I was like, I hope he takes the Brady approach, because you still got to keep guys around you, man. The Eagles are built to win right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk a lot about the coaching staffs and all of that, and losing both coordinators.
Yeah, we can. Before we do that, because let's get into that. But before we do, I do want to spread a little blame the running backs way, because, and it could be the field again, because they never had this bad a game, but it didn't seem to be affecting Pacheco. I'm just going to point that out. Maybe it was a cleat issue. I don't know. But Gainwell, 7 carries for 21 yards, 3.0 average. Sanders, 7 carries for 16 yards, 2.3 average. Austin Scott, 3 carries for 8 yards, 2.7 average. That's not going to get it done in the Super Bowl, guys. Whether it's the offensive line not getting you holes, whether it's the scheme and the running scheme, like you said, Miles, where he could have clearly cut up field and he runs out of bounds. I don't get that one either. It wasn't a great game for the running backs that we counted on. In spite of all of that, Jalen Hurts was able to help put 35 points on the board almost single-handedly. So you're right.
He carried them. Yeah, he carried.
We have got to get better moving forward. And like you mentioned, one coordinator's gone. We're very happy about that guy being gone. Not so happy about Shane Steichen being gone. Mm-hmm. He did craft a lot of plays. He is the guy that tailored the offense to Jalen, worked with Jalen on a lot of the plays that work for them. So he has taken the job as the Indianapolis Colts head coach. I think they got a good one there. I think the Colts are going to be trending up, and the Cardinals, I'm just glad they're in our conference. That's all I can say about the Cardinals. You know, the thing that really drives me crazy about the Cardinals hire is that Eric Bieniemy does not have a contract with the Chiefs right now. And the Cardinals could have reached out and said, look, we got Kyler Murray here, which is a tiny Mahomes, a Mahomes you could fit in your pocket, if you will. Come be our head coach and do what you did with Mahomes. And I guarantee him Bieniemy would, because he's wanted to be a head coach. That's what he was waiting on. Oh, and yeah. You hire freaking Gannon. Now, I'm glad, because we don't have to worry about Gannon anymore. But you let Bieniemy slip through your hands. This guy deserves to be a head coach. His game planning in the Super Bowl, and for since Mahomes has been there, has been brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
So I could have used him in Philly as the new OC, but we do have a new offensive coordinator, if you haven't heard. We hired Brian Johnson, which is Jalen Hurts' longtime quarterbacks coach. He's been the quarterback coach this past season. He has been named as well. I don't know if he's been named, but everybody is saying that he's done the deal to be promoted to offensive coordinator for the Eagles. A lot of teams, and this is a smart move for me by the Eagles. I'm good on this right now. First of all, he worked hand-in-hand with Steichen on what would work for Jalen Hurts, which is a big plus for me. Quarterbacks moving to OC is not a bad move upward. But also, he was being courted by a lot of teams to be their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And had we not promoted this guy, he would have been gone. And I don't think we could have afforded to lose his impact on Jalen Hurts. So welcome, Brian Johnson.
So here's my thought on this. You know, I always want I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I know he's known Jalen since like 3 years old or something like that. And, you know, I checked his resume. I just want to see, okay, who are we getting as our new offensive coordinator? And I wanted somebody to have more experience. I mean, I'm happy that he got the job, you know, believe that. But I just wanted somebody that had a lot. I feel like this team is so built to win right now, meaning, and here's my overall perspective as to why I would have liked to get a guy like maybe Cliff Kingsbury in there, because he's only had one season as a play caller. Brian Johnson, that was with Florida, and that was attached to Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen was his mentor, and he took him a few places. So we got a guy that's only called plays for, it was Kyle Trisk down there for one season in 2020. And I'm just like, man, You know, could we have gotten, you know, still keep him, still pay him, say, okay, I know you want to go out here. I know you've been in court. We can still pay you a little bit more. That's the Eagles. That's up to the Eagles organization. But you got guys out there like Cliff Kingsbury, who's obviously not going to be, you know, there was only one job available, and that was his job, like at the end of the season. Like, we knew that Cliff Kingsbury is not being rehired by the Cardinals. So what else is he going to do? He's an offensive coordinator, right? Or a coordinator or something right now. So I felt with his 8 years of head coach experience on the team that's built to win right now, I thought we should have looked at that. Maybe the Eagles did. The reason why I'm saying that, man, you got guys like Jason Kelce, who we don't know is coming back. We don't know if Lane Johnson's coming back. Pretty sure he is, but we don't know.
Take a look.
Oh,
this is we got a list of what we got going on. There's a lot, man. We replaced the offensive coordinator, so that's done. Steichen went to Indy. We got to replace the defensive coordinator. A lot of people think it's going to be another promotion from within with Denard Wilson, the DB coach. I'm not a big high on that. I like Denard Wilson. I liked him when he was a player, but I don't want Gannon's assistant to become the head coach, because it's just more, it's Gannon 2.0, 3.0, just like he was the same as Schwartz. I want a defensive coordinator with some balls, not a blitzing one, but one that's aggressive enough to force teams to make mistakes. I don't want a defensive coordinator that is playing bend but don't break and doesn't get the ball back to his offense. The defensive coordinator should be getting the ball back to the offense as many times as possible so that they have chances to score, not trying to grind out the clock by keeping the other team's offense on the field. It's ridiculous. So we know Fangio's gone. I don't know about Denard Wilson. That's just a rumor. So I think that there are other defensive coordinators the Eagles will look at. I don't think it'll be as quick as getting Johnson was today. I think Johnson was a no-brainer for them. Mm-hmm. And I hear what you're saying, but I think he'll be on a short leash as far as, like, if he falters, and he's got a very challenging season coming up. We'll talk about that in a minute. If he does not perform in his first season, there'll definitely be some changes.
I have an overall point, but go on.
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So my overall point with the changes, and so do you remember in that game where you had our quarterback having to tell our head coach to be more mature, right? He's barking. He's barking at the other side. It's the Super Bowl, bro. So at some point, put it away. You have to stay focused. You mean to tell me our quarterback is more focused than the head coach in the Super Bowl? That's like Donovan McNabb throwing up or something in reverse. Like, wait a minute, bro. Jalen is so locked in, he can turn around and tell his coach, calm. That was embarrassing. Let's just keep it real. It's pretty embarrassing for your head coach. And I was like, dang, did the Eagles lose this game because their staff was too immature? All these young guys, Sirianni, right? Steichen, right? And Gannon. Gannon's my age. Was there not that person in there that could shake the room up a little bit and make these guys, like, stop playing around so much? I also felt like, you know, Sirianni mature enough to run the whole, to make decisions on, like, telling Gannon, hey, you need to change up. Hey, you need to do this. You know, are they all, you know, have this approach, like, we all came in this together. Do they all feel like peers versus Sirianni being the head coach? I'm sure they respect him as the head coach, but you understand what I'm saying. When you get a job with your boys, you know, you get a job with your boys and you hire your boys, y'all all around the same age. I thought it was a lot of immaturity there on our coaching staff's part on so many levels. I thought our players were way more mature than our coaching staff at times. Just the way they went about things and how the changes that they were able to make. So with all those changes, let's say you get Brian Johnson come in there and he thinks that we can't waste any years. We got God. This team is built to win right now.
Right.
We don't need nobody to grow. Hey, I want the brother to grow, but not, I want somebody that can come in. We was rebuilding, bring Brian Johnson in. You rebuild. This team is built to win right now. Mm. Right now. We already in Formula One, not in the Bush League. We in Formula One. We're already at the top. This is, we got the best car. We have the fastest car, great handling. We are built to win right now. And we don't need, in my opinion, to have all this turnover. I told you over the text, I would have told Steichen, give me one more year, player. Win the chip, I'll let you go. He's under contract. We have to let him go. I don't care about your feelings. We have something to build here, because hear me out. We got him the job. It's like the job's not finished. Yeah. The job's not finished. You want a little more money? All right, I'll pay you. Give him 1.5 for you know how well you're doing. So I just feel like this team is built to win, and with so many changes, I think it really, really messes up the vibe. I understand let Gannon go, but I think the only new piece should have been the defensive coordinator. I would have seen Stetson, no. But since that ship has sailed, I would at least get a veteran guy in there that has a lot of experience and can help Sirianni too. You need right. a guy to help. Sirianni needs help from a coaching standpoint. I think Cliff Kingsbury, being around his age, 43, 44, they both play quarterback. You know, they both. Yeah. I think he can relate to him. I think he can help him out, man. And I think Kingsbury has a chip on his shoulder. He coached Patrick Mahomes in the in that air raid offense. I don't know if that fits the Eagles, but we can see. Right. We can see. You know, and also it's Quez Watkins becoming the new Jalen Reagor. And that's it. That's it. That's all I had to say about the full team.
yeah. Quez, I think he's, I think that they're going to be, yeah, that's a good point at the very end there. But yeah, I think Nick is emotional. I don't know if he's immature. I think it's good to have a quarterback that is calm when he's emotional. I do like the way Nick does things. It'll be interesting. It's already happening. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Johnson. And where they go with, if they bring Denard Wilson in to be the defensive coordinator, I'll be a little nervous as far as that goes. I do want to see somebody with experience. There's a lot out there that are sitting without a job.
You see Andy has Spags out there. Come on, yeah, man.
That's what we need.
Come on, man. That's what I'm talking about.
There's just some other things that we got. We got 18 free agents that we got to deal with this year. And you know, they're not all coming back. Re-signing Miles Sanders, I don't know if that's a must. Running backs are right now, it's just a low value position. I know he ran for 1200 yards, but we can get with that 10th pick in the first round, we can get a quality back. Heck, with the last pick in the first round, we probably can get a quality back. Gainwell and Scott can hold the fort. So we'll have to see. I think CJ Gardner-Johnson is a must to bring back. He has been outstanding for the defense, as well as Bradbury. Yep. We've got Reddick locked down. We got to keep the defensive backfield settled. Also, we definitely need to see more N'Kobe Dean next year. So if that means we let Kazir White go, then we let Kazir White go. I don't think he had minimal impact in the second half of the season. I liked Kazir White, but he didn't do enough to warrant a contract with the Eagles. I think N'Kobe Dean, it's time for him to shine. And then the possible retirees, Kelsey, Graham, and Cox. I don't think Graham and Cox are going to be back with the Eagles, even if they do come back. They're too old for them to give a multi-year contract to. Maybe if Cox signs a one-year deal, they can bring him back. Graham, too. But I don't think Graham wants a one-year deal. I think he wants one last contract. I'm not so sure about Cox. Cox may go the Jason Peters route, where he just keeps signing one year. I'll do one more year. Kelsey, too. Kelsey might do one or two more years, but I think Graham is definitely gone on that list. But there's so many others, man, that out there. As far as free agents, who you think your priority is as far as bringing back?
Bringing back the priority is CD and Bradbury. I thought Bradbury played just fine with it. I think in the new scheme, I think he can play just fine. It brings continuity. Like I said, I don't want a lot of changes to this team. This team should be Super Bowl champions, man. This team was good enough to be Super Bowl champions. This team was built to win. It looked like it could win. It just blew a tire on the final lap and something happened. But, I'm willing to package. I don't want to do none of this small back, little back, big back, you back, me back, two back. I want a running back. I want a featured back. Mortgage the farm. Get rid of these picks. I don't care if you give up the 10th pick to go get Kamara. Get somebody in there that's special, man, that's playing 90% of the snaps. We're not going to get Saquon Barkley, but I think right now, I know they have to pay Jalen, but they really don't have to as well. He's just eligible for the extension, but it'll be disrespectful. It'll be disrespectful for him to walk on that field with him without a contract. The Eagles don't even want to. They don't even want to. Once I seen Jeffrey Lurie at his locker at the NFC Championship game, I was like, oh, he getting paid. You don't walk to a man locker that you're not paying. Excuse me, sir. Let me get dressed. So Jalen's going to get paid, but 50 mil is going to crush the team. Can't take 50. Can't take 50, man. I don't know how Mahomes was able to pull it off, with that team. But you see, they all pieced together. Nobody's super special, but Kelsey. Mm-hmm. You got that holdover, but everybody else is kind of pieced and patched together. I don't want that. I want a solid team. I think he can get around, 35. It's not insulting, but it keeps the team. It's respectful. Because even they franchise tags, that's what they have to pay him around that, around like 30-something, yeah. Maybe close to 40. So I think Kyler Murray is making like a ridiculous amount. He's better than Kyler Murray. How about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to get 40. He's going to get 45 at least.
Guys like Kyler Murray are the problem when it comes to Jalen, because you can't look at Jalen and say he deserves less than Kyler Murray. You can't say that to him with a straight face.
Oh, exactly.
And the Eagles, and they will agree with it. So I just hope that doesn't hurt us overall. We know Jeffrey Lurie isn't stingy. He will pay you. Hell, he's been paying for Carson Wentz the last couple years. But overall, man, getting Jalen paid, CeeDee Gardner coming back for sure, and Bradberry. I'm cool off of Miles. I'm cool off every running back we have. I don't care if not a single running back comes back. We need a feature back. I'm not going to keep saying that over and over, but that's where I stand with it. I think that's the final piece to our offense, and then the rest we just stack on defense. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be a tough year. If you look at the strength of schedule that has been released, the Eagles, all those people whining about the Eagles not playing anybody in 2022, where you're going to get your wish in 2023-24, the Eagles have the toughest schedule. So shove that up your ass. If the Eagles, I don't know if this team is going to go 14-3 when you look at who we've got to play this year. We've got to play Buffalo, Miami, Minnesota, which again, no slouch. They still got that offense. 49ers, Cardinals again in our own division. And then away opponents, we've got the Chiefs, the Jets, the Patriots, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers without Tom Brady.
I'll be at the Chiefs game.
That'd be cool. But there are a lot of really quality opponents on that list. Yeah. I mean, I don't see, unlike this season when we looked at the schedule, I went, hey, this could be a 12-4 season or something along that 12-5. And it turned out 14-3. But this schedule, man, if they can win 10, 11 games in the schedule, that's going to be, that's why I think Brian Johnson coming in, he's unfortunately, he's being sent into the friggin' lion's den.
That's the
with
gauntlet.
This mess. This that's is a gauntlet. Mess.
Well, it's the toughest. We don't even have to, over talk it or hyperbole. It's it's the hardest. Yeah. It's right there. That's a tough, when I saw that the Eagles were coming to the Chiefs, I was like, man, a Super Bowl rematch, you're not going to be able to find a ticket. So I'm expected to pay a ridiculous amount. And then the returning champs. I mean, it's going to be the hottest ticket in the NFL probably last year. But if Mahomes and Hurts are healthy, what? Super Bowl rematch in Kansas City? You kidding me? That's going to be a feature because they've put some respect on Hurts' name. So I don't expect a lot of the down talk next year. They can have a little more optimism when it comes to what Jalen is capable of doing. But with all that turnover and that schedule, I'm scared, man. I don't think you need a first-year offensive coordinator. I'm sorry. You can call it what it want. I'm really happy for Brian Johnson. I'm fucking happy for Brian Johnson. But, wow. Are we about to get another guy that we can just point to when everything goes wrong next year? And that's another distraction. Like, get some guys in that can really hold their own. If Cliff Kingsbury is out there, it doesn't even matter at this point. He's been hired. Congratulations. Welcome. 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 I hope you do well. I really do. And I really do. I really do. That's a tough schedule.
It is. That's 30
points a game, that schedule.
I am going into next year happy about this year, but with the trepidation, just going, we'll see, because I do believe in this team. I think we'll have to see how everything plays out. We're going to have a whole new draft class as well. We may have, three or four rounds full of starters. I guarantee you that 10th pick is very much likely to be a 13th with a couple of two second and third rounders thrown in. I see Howie trading out to get more younger talent.
I always forget about that. And that's why I don't want to digress too much, but that Saints game, that's why we needed to beat the Saints. Can you imagine? We're going to get top 10 talent in this draft. Going to the Super Bowl, you come back and get top 10 talent. Two picks in the first round. I'm excited. I am excited about that. I am excited about the draft, man. I was looking at that like, man, if we get a stud, we really get like that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a third receiver. Is that too much to ask? We get like the best receiver in the draft if he's around 10th. Put him right there third. But then it's a waste because we should be able to sign a guy to put in there. Third receiver you sign, you don't draft.
I'd like to see them. I don't think they'll go after a back. I hope they would to deal with the loss of Sanders because you need a top back coming in young. We'll see. We'll just see. I'm just going to enjoy the ride. We went to the Super Bowl. Let's just say with that, as we go out, it was a fantastic season. Yeah. I enjoyed every moment of it with you. Didn't turn out the way we wanted, but man, we got to the Super Bowl. Who could ask? Everybody else had gone home by that point. Only one team can win it. And yet we were there at the end. Everybody else had to go play golf while the Eagles got to enjoy the Super Bowl. And they came within 3 points to win it at a 10-point lead at halftime. But we have to move on because it's over now. We're going to move into next season. And so will this podcast. So we mentioned earlier that this is kind of the series finale of the Where Eagles Dare podcast. And it is. Tubby and I have decided that in the next football season, we're going to rebrand. We're still going to talk Eagles from time to time, but we're going to talk all NFL. And that's because we're going to start a Tubby and Lee and maybe some other people, who knows. We're going to start a fantasy football live stream here on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch. We probably won't do the podcast thing anymore on the audio version so that we can stay live and interact with the fans and not have to worry about older information getting out. We want to be engaged. It seems like every time we did the fantasy football broadcast live, they got a lot of engagement. A lot of you people wanted to talk about that. And so we decided that, we'll still talk about the Eagles. We'll still talk about football, but we're going to do the fantasy football thing. And I'll say the limited time we did do fantasy football, Tubby, we were nailing the predictions and no one could deny that.
Yeah.
So it shows that we got a little bit of forte in this. Yeah.
And there's an audience out there because when I go looking around the popular sites, the Twitch, the YouTubes, the Facebooks, and you try to ask a question, most of the time you need to be a member or a subscriber, some type of paid subscriber. I think that's why when we were able to open ours up, we had so many questions because people could actually reach us. We were an unknown platform. That wasn't even our game. It's Where Eagles Dare podcast, and we still had so much engagement. We had so much engagement. We had to kind of like stop it almost. Yeah. And that's what being unknown. I think we come back, people can count on us. We get a good schedule. Put out some really great content, man. Get some faster computers. And we make it happen. But I'm really excited about the, still going to talk Eagles. You're still going to see Eagle stuff all around me. Really excited, for this new lane we're about to take. And I think it's going to be fun, man, because if I stress, I feel like as much as I stress over my fantasy football team, I might as well talk about it. Put it up live and stress together. So it's going to be fun.
It sounds great. I agree. And we're looking forward to it. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody that has joined us for the past 2 years on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. You've all been great. We've really enjoyed doing it. We love our Eagles. And what a better way to go out than to have the team go to the Super Bowl. It would have been even better had they won. Didn't happen. We're moving on. So we'll be back next season, just under a different name. So everybody that looks for us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast, we'll still have the same website. We're just going to tweak some things so you can still find us. For those who follow us on the YouTube channel, we're just going to rebrand the YouTube channel so you can still find us, those who have subscribed to us on that format. So thank you for everyone. If you want to email us, you can still email us some suggestions or anything like that at our email address at lee.bird, that's lee.byrd.eaglesdare.com or at gmail.com. We welcome any suggestions for the new fantasy football program. So do that, and we'll be back next season. So with all that being said, I'm going to turn it up over to Tubby for his final words of the 2022-23 season.
As always, I want to thank everybody for supporting us. Whenever you had time, dropping a comment, whenever, when it was just strictly Eagles talk, even if you didn't like the Eagles. But I want to appreciate everybody, all our supporters. And as always, thanks for stopping by. Where Eagles Dare podcast. Can't wait for next season. Should be fun. Stick around. We'll be back for a lot more content. And with my boy Lee, hell of a season, man. Hell of a season. Came up just short, but the memories will last forever. With that being said, man, fly, Eagles fly.
And go Birds. We'll see you guys again real soon. Take it easy.